Good morning.
All right. We had, so that referral that was not a referral called at 1 p.m. that day from last week.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, I got to share this with you, but basically we transcribed our phone call from that morning.
Yeah.
And we, not only did we read parts of it, like, you know, we're process driven and client centered, you know, everything that we had, now I'd have to go by memory. We got the appointment. We actually have a live appointment with him on Friday. He asked for the appointment. So, you know, we're always selling the appointment, right?
Right.
So,
your refrigerator, where are you?
Don't worry about it.
He's there. Somewhere.
Yeah. I'm ever present. So no. let's see here. I was grabbing something. That's what I was doing. So let's see here. The letter that we constructed actually goes back to one of our first phone calls where we described the directors on the team. I didn't give names, but I said director of leadership, director of, I should have said growth and marketing. I will do that next time. I'm actually going to share the letter with you.
Okay.
Because I'd love for you to see this. But we sent him a fax. Dan, let's call him today and make sure he received the fax.
Got it.
And just let him know that we look forward to seeing him on Friday at 2:00.
Got it.
Okay. Rob, I'm going to send you this really cool letter that we crafted. He asked what our fees were, and we, you know, used the opportunity to write him a letter as well. And it starts, mission is, hopefully I can actually say that since we are a first class family office, so I don't know if that's ironic. We'll develop a multi-generational financial plan to meet your needs and goals and implement that plan. Formal meetings will be placed on our regular monthly schedule. Our concierge client service includes one hour response time and a 24-hour resolution or concerns, you know, the basics. Of all the directors, the 5-star model. And then basically we kind of transcribed a bit.
You're breaking up, Ben. I don't know why.
No.
Yeah. I'm struggling to hear you, Ben.
We'll send you.
I wonder if your internet connection is weak.
Up. Hello.
Yeah, your internet connection's weak, I think, Ben.
Okay. I'm coming off.
Getting
hello.
Yeah, there you are.
Okay. So at any rate. So we got the appointment. Let's talk about this first prospect meeting. Technically we could have a mini me folder ready for him.
You should have. You should have a mini-me folder ready for him.
Okay.
You should go through it page by page.
Okay, Dan, let's do it for this prospect. We've gone through the format. We'll just give him a physical. I'm going to, Dan, let's also find one that we want to use. That's a branding concept.
Got it.
Rob, I'm going to send you this letter. You could critique it if you don't mind. I think you're going to like it, though. It's
yeah, I liked what I heard.
Okay. The only thing I would change is I would add the word growth to growth and marketing for that role, not just marketing.
Right.
You'll see how I describe this, though. Basically, I said, our world-class marketing director is always ensuring our firm's initiatives are relevant and meaningful. Director of leadership responsible for the team's development and vision for the firm. Director of branding always working to make the client's experience better. Director of implementation ensures we implement our planning as agreed upon. Director of planning ensures we create, agree upon, and review our plan on a regular basis. Good.
Well, I would say have a comprehensive plan for each client and review it on a regular basis.
We'll adjust that. Comprehensive.
Yeah, I'd even say comprehensive and multi-generational plan for each client and monitor.
Multi-generational plan for each client and review on a regular basis. Speaking of which, I just, I'm sorry, Pav, this just came to me. Eric and Andy Williams want to review their plan in the second or third quarter of next year. Something okay. From my planning call.
Ben, make sure on implementation, one of the key elements is that you, unlike other people, make sure that you fully implement the plan. Okay, that's a big difference. You know, people sell plans and they tell people to do things. They don't follow up and have right. You're kind of their accountability coach to make sure they fully implement the plan.
Jamie, do you get that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, makes sense.
Okay.
I agree.
Okay. That's the implementation.
I mean, that's a big difference between that's why we did the 12-4-2. That's really the way you integrate 12-4-2 into the model. So we offer a multi-generational plan with full implementation of that plan through 12 scheduled appointments for reviews of the plan, two of them in person. So it integrates that process. Even in one sentence, you give them the entire process of what you do. Remember, the key for us in beating Oxford Financial was that they sold at a $5 million minimum. This is back in the 90s. They had a $5 million minimum fee-only financial planning firm. So how could we beat them with high net worth clients? We beat them by making sure that we fully implemented the plan. They would do a plan, but it was kind of up to you to follow up and make sure it got done with your
attorney. Got it. Yeah, it's a self-service.
Right. I mean, it was they approached it, but you know, a lot of people don't want to, you know, that's your business. We don't want to be too intrusive and all that. Forget about it. They hire you. You're their quarterback. They're the CEO. You're their chief financial officer. It's their decision, but you all are on the same team. And if they don't do what they're supposed to do and you don't do what you're supposed to do, the team fails. Okay. So the game is we help fully implement the plan. We're going to be your accountability coach. We're going to be the person there to make sure you do the things that you're committed to doing and you do them on a timely basis. And that's very different. That's what people really want. They don't want to think about this stuff. They want somebody to bug them and make sure they do it. You got to remind them why they're doing it and why you're bugging them and make sure that if they give you any pushback, you say, so are you changing your goals then?
Yeah, nice.
See, are you adjusting your goals? It sounds like you're not as committed as you were to what you said you wanted. Are you changing your goals? You don't want to
change your goals.
Yeah.
So you don't want to send you're not thinking of a 4-year university anymore for your children, or right?
Right. You don't. Harvard's out now. You've decided that you know that XYZ is okay.
Right.
Your grandchildren aren't that important anymore. So
we used to know an insurance agent that was kind of a client. He'd say, how much do you love your family? He would really sell insurance. So anyway, great. We covered it. We critiqued some. I sent it to you too, just so you can see if there's anything else to critique. But we're going to keep this in our prospect folder so we got it ready to go for anybody who wants and asks us this question again. Oh, what are your fees? Okay, here, I got this for you, but you're going to get a nice cover letter along with it that explains what we do.
Yeah, this is what we do. We care as much about you as you do about your family. And we're not right for everybody. And make that apparent. We're just not right. It's like Supernova isn't right for anybody. Anybody that's self-centered versus client-centered, it's just not a good process for them.
You mean client-wise even?
In this case, no. That's what I say to FAs.
FAs, yeah, right.
What I would say about the client is, you know, some people just really don't want to take the time to do this right. And so we're not a good fit for them. You know, we're going to do it right for you.
Right. Okay.
You know, and some people just don't care. And that's just not a good fit for us.
The financial plans have to be implemented. What I'm reminded of is the lawyers that do the trusts,
yeah,
and then they disappear. So what good is a trust? Well, the lawyer made $6,000. That's what's good about the trust. Okay.
They are self-centered versus client-centered.
Right.
They do that. They sell product.
Right.
They don't sell a client experience. And then the client dies and everything is still in joint name.
Yep. By the way, we created Rob, we created an estate planning business that charges, you're not going to love this part, but it charges less than half. So I can do a complete estate plan for under $3,000, where we contract the attorney, and they just pay us a planning fee, and we implement it for them. That's the difference, right? Same thing as the financial plan. Actually, it's no different than a financial plan. In some ways, it's actually easier, I would argue, because it's just one subject matter, and there's only so many things that can be done with an estate plan. I feel
you guys set up LLCs and charitable charitable
lead trusts,
just charities. Do you set up charities and LLCs for people?
Well, is that the same subject?
Well, like I have all my investments in an LLC, and each one required a separate LLC, right? So expensive, right? So I got NAP investments, NAP real estate, NAP this and that.
Okay.
Now I'm setting up another charity, and each time I do it, it's expensive. So I've got the foundation, and then I've got, you know, Supernova, and then I've got. And each time I do any of this stuff, it costs me money, right? Not, you know, 10 grand or something, or 5 grand.
Yeah. Yeah. I see what you're saying. We would do that with an attorney. That's not really insourced. It's more outsourced.
Yeah.
But yeah, we would have to engage traditionally with a law firm for that.
Okay.
In other words, the client would have to engage with the law firm for that, but we can facilitate it for sure.
Yeah, and that's the key is you be the guy on the phone introducing them, zooming them, introducing them. They then engage, they follow up, but you do the initial meeting. You do the introduction, you tell them, you set up the appointment, then you're on it with them, you introduce them, you sit there for the first meeting, and then from then on, they follow up, but you're keeping track of what's going on. I think that's very important that you stay engaged in that process and make sure it gets finished.
Anything else on this, or can we go to the checklist for the week?
Well, one of the things that it just brings to mind is, you know, you got a 12-4-2 you're doing with your centers of influence, right? You're meeting with them monthly. This is one of the things that you can be sure. Let's say it's an estate planning attorney, right? You got a list of people that are doing estate plans, and where are they? Every month you meet with them in person or on Zoom and go through that checklist and say, where's Dr. Shaughnessy? Where's Dr. This and where's such and such? They then keep you informed. Therefore, you're in the loop the whole time, even when you've then turned it over to them. So that
that's nice.
You see what I mean? You're still the utz. You're still the guy poking everybody to get stuff done. So you're the personal trainer that's just not going to let them fail and turn into a blob, okay?
Right, right, which I've experienced plenty of times.
Right.
So, okay, good. I have a new one that I met through my Allstate arrangement. Remember, one of my niches is Allstate. And I met an estate planning attorney through there that I interviewed last week. Yep. And he charges $5,000 to $6,000. That's nice. I've heard really good things about him. They only do estate planning, which you always want. And I would do that with him. And he agreed. I said, look, I actually use your, we don't do business with takers. You know, a lot of attorneys think they're entitled to business. There's a lot of estate planners out there, and we can work with the ones not presumptuous, but it's that don't take for granted
right.
an introduction. And I said, this is not like, you know, any kind of match, but I would like the opportunity to present what we do. We don't just create referrals. It's not just luck
Not
that
creating them out of whole cloth.
What's that?
We don't create them out of whole cloth.
Yeah, exactly. We don't just create referrals out of whole cloth. I haven't heard that one. There's a reason why we have referrals for you, and I would like the opportunity to present to your firm what it is that we do and what makes us different. And he said, absolutely. In fact, I want to make sure we don't forget about that. And we get that on in January because I was talking about a January referral that I'll set up today. And then he wants us to present to the firm, him and the two partners, also in January.
Great.
Okay. So, and that's that. I made sure that we got that. It's not matching, but that we're open about what we expect from a mutually beneficial relationship, and this could really forge, because, you know, we can always find an estate planner that will never reciprocate.
Right. There's hundreds of thousands of them.
Right.
So, yeah.
So that's my project for today. That'll be something that's a new COI interest. Other than that, we have one client, but we've identified two more guys. It's Caldwell. So Caldwell is a therapist in Hollywood. Okay. She wants to send us some comedians that you would know, some actors and so on. And I think we should probably make her a COI. She just sent us a referral.
Yes.
That is not a big, it wasn't a big referral. Let's make her a COI. Okay, cool. Done.
Hell yeah.
Okay, fine. Sometimes the answer is right in front of you and you don't know it. Like, I don't know why we didn't think to make her a COI prior. Okay, we're going to make Angela.
She's sending you business and she likes you.
She loves us. She said to us, right before we closed the office, we fired off this message that said, basically, don't jump off a bridge. And, I'm talking back in COVID. And she goes, you know, it was such a, she goes, I don't have your father's cell phone. It came from my dad. I'll try to pull this up here. March 12th, she said, I don't have your father's number, but could you just pass on this message? That was the most level-headed. It's transcribing it. The most level-headed, you know, method throughout this. I've gotten throughout the whole pandemic, because I think this is all a little ridiculous. And I really appreciate it if you know we're all in this together. And I agree with your dad. Just something. Hope you guys are riding out this roller coaster, something like that. She was kind enough to call us on that. She's just the biggest raving fan. And we have got, so that's settled. The next one would be Char Turber, guys. She sent us 3 clients already. One of them we didn't close, but we don't have 100% close rate. And now we do have tax planning services, which actually she wanted. We're taking out the Goldman unit that just does consulting. I forgot what it's called. You guys, Dylan, do you know what that's called?
Oh, yeah. They do financial planning around the country.
PWM.
ACO?
Yes.
There's ACO and there's PWM division.
Yeah. ACO. So yeah. She's a client of ACO, and she's got her assets at Morgan Stanley in my building. She regardless, at the time she said, "Do you do tax planning?" And I'm like, and I might have hemmed and hawed, and we now have a tax planning unit. So there.
Call her again.
Yeah, I believe me, I have, but that's okay. I'll call her again. So so Char Turber, very strong single female professional lawyer, private equity, general counsel. When she tried to retire, people wouldn't let her. She's on a consulting gig. I don't have to send her any money, even at 71 years old. I should make her a COI.
Yeah.
Because she sent us business. I don't know. Is that, and she's an advocate, right?
Yeah.
Okay. We've got 3 clients now. I've got the estate planner I'll make, assuming we can turn this into something. I got to get up to 6. So I'll figure out 2 more. Our tax planning guy. We did have a conversation with him this a couple weeks ago. We mentioned that he hasn't sent us anybody. He said, well, then he's not a CI. So a COI for you. He said, I want you to present to my firm and my partners. Same thing as the estate planning guy. So I'm going to say Bob Jacobson. He's actually our lead CPA. But we haven't seen any reciprocation there. And, aside from the fact that he doesn't charge our clients much, but that's besides the point. It's certainly normal market rate. It's just not huge clients for him. He's just helping us. So Bob Jacobson's a 5th, and I'll have to come up with number 6. Jamie, do you have 6 in mind? If so, can you mention a few of them?
Sorry, guys. Just take myself off mute. I've got my 8-year-old son in the background doing his homeschooling on a Zoom call, which is a little distracting. So let me find somewhere quiet. Yes.
You know that.
Yeah, exactly. So centers of influence. I have more than 6, but I take it from the top in terms of immediate, you know, introductions and strong referrals. So I have a high net worth insurance broker friend who deals only with pretty significantly wealthy families through Chubb and Hub International. And these are pure membership insurance type. Himself will be a client almost certainly, but he will be able to send me a regular throughput of those type of individuals. We've already had that conversation and established early terms and, you know, sort of looking in the right direction more than anything. I have a commercial high value mortgage lender who's dialed right into the type of clients that we would want. There is a Latin school parents network in terms of, you know, being more involved where my son goes to school. Is a very, not to brag, but a very prestigious private school in Chicago called Latin. And I'm becoming more and more sort of comfortable and familiar and friendly with a lot of the alumni there, and it's kind of a who's who in Chicago business, to be quite honest with you. So that's another one. An attorney friend of mine who specializes in merger and acquisition, so liquidity events and business owners that come out of that referral source, which, you know, he's already mentioned a few. And then moving on from that one, going down my list here of relevance, is executive search firm owner, who works only in the finance and private equity market. They're the third biggest executive search firm in the world, and it's privately owned. And he's a good friend of mine. So he's a constant source of board level, C-level, high net worth individuals that would be, you know, interested. There's a professional baseball agent that I'm very friendly with that's already made initial inroads into how he might be able to help. And that's kind of like just page one. And then there's a few more things that I've explored from there. Pav will like this one. My one of my ex-rugby teammates is now extremely senior with the Manchester City and Sheikh Mansour ownership group that own PSG Soccer. They own Manchester City Soccer. They own New York City FC Soccer. But more importantly than that, he's probably rubbing shoulders with half a dozen guys that make anywhere between 5 to 50 million a year. They're all relatively young. They're up and comers. They're sort of our kind of guys in terms of being able to get credible introductions. And that is something which has kind of presented itself in the last month or so since we've been talking. So I'm very excited about this process. You know, obviously I want to get it sort of formalized and in place. They range from, you know, being very open to the format, for the formalities that we talked about last week in terms of really investing in the process, all the way down to, you know, warm introductions and then leaving it at that. Now, obviously, Rob, we had a little sort of back and forth last week about this. Some people is more realistic than others that they will invest in being a true center of influence, the way you verbalize it. Others will be like, trust this guy. They've got a great operation. I put money with them, or I will be. You should definitely talk. I'll set up the meeting. That is the scale of warm to just, you know, sorry, of hot to lukewarm introductions. So there's something to work at there, but I don't want to be a scattergun. You know, I'm going to go deep rather than wide. And I think the first four or five I mentioned will have the best return on replicatable business opportunities. Does that make sense?
Just a couple of comments.
Yeah.
One of them, terrific. I mean, fabulous list. I mean, you're on.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah, but it's, you know, people can talk and then there's talkers versus talkers. So this is a very nice list of very high quality people.
Yep.
One of the things to do, it's kind of like, so let me just do semantics and make sure we're on the same page.
Sure.
Your Latin school would be a niche. Okay.
I'm gonna interject. That's just like my Anche Emmett school. There's only like four schools in Chicago. There's Latin Lab, Parker, and Anche Emmett that are these, you know, prestigious private elementary schools, or primary. It would be the similar for me for Anche Emmett. It's no different.
So right? Anyway, the point is that this will be. Think of a niche as more like a nest of whatever it is, right? In this case, it's parents, wealthy parents from all different places. Now, one of the things with each niche is that you want to have a center of influence inside the niche. You've got to start somewhere. It could be you, okay? If you are the chairman of the board or the, you know, whatever organ, however they're structured, you then would probably have already established yourself as the center of influence inside that school, and you help people connect and solve problems and things like that. But typically it would be somebody that likes you, trusts you, and has been there forever. Okay. And then he can introduce you around. And this is the case where you do social networking and then try and make friends with people, which you'll do successfully. And then once the friendships are built, then they will ask you about your business. You'll ask them about their business. So that's a typical, the soccer league, I would also put in that soccer nest. I would put into the niche category.
Right.
Maybe your friend is the center of influence inside that niche.
He absolutely is. Now, I understand the difference. I was probably.
So and like I said, a couple of niches. You can, you know, when I started, I had 10 niches because I had no clients, right? So if you're marketing, you can have many niches. You don't want to have too many that you can't follow up on and do a good job on, but you want to make a folder for each one of these and put it into your scheduler to think about it and work on it and remind yourself at least monthly. So theoretically, you'd want to have a Zoom call, a lunch, a something with your center of influence inside the niche once a month. And are you going to be perfect? No, you're going to have to cancel. He's going to cancel, but you're going to get 8 to 12, maybe, of those meetings. You know, you'll get 10 of them done out of 12. But don't worry that you're scheduling too much. It won't see if it's a good niche and your friends, you're going to look forward to it. Okay. So but if you schedule them quarterly, too much time goes on. Too many things happen.
Yeah. And I appreciate you sort of clarifying that, Rob. I was, you know, the way I described it, that's the way I look at it. If I was to force rank them on a scale from classic center of influence, the way you described it, through to need some work to make sure that this is regular and consistent, then yeah, they would fit into different, you know, different scoring ranges for sure. So that's what am I to do, is just to make sure that's regular, consistent and clear. Most of them are regional. You know, the Sheikh Mansour guy is in New York, which is not too far, but most things are done by Zoom anyway at the moment. So it's all a case of organization and scheduling and prioritization. But that new business development piece is kind of where I'm most confident, along with the client list that I've already sort of shared with Ben and Shelley. So there's a lot to get your teeth into right away. But no, I like the sustainable, repeatable nature of the center of influence, because you know, getting off to a good start's great, but then you've got to look at the next iteration of where clients are going to come from. And it can't just be through personal networking. So I like it.
Any of the ones that are professionals, so if you take your every one of these guys, I mean, that you mentioned, an agent, a search firm, private equity attorney, a mortgage lender, insurance guy, they all need to spend some time learning what you do. So
right.
What I suggest is that you introduce them formally to the team and have a Zoom call like this, where everybody goes through the 5-star model and tells them what you do.
Agreed. I think that's Owen Ben and I discussed that on Friday, that would be, you know, what would you do in the first month once I'm doing my licensing test on Friday, by the way, but assuming all that goes well. You know, we had discussed a little bit of time, me spending a time fully understanding everyone's role, doing a little bit of shadowing. But, you know, once that's done, it's all hands to the pump. It's bringing these guys either in remotely or in person and getting them off to work in December.
Zoom is brilliant. Okay. It's got some amazing qualities that we just are going to freak out over time, and people don't get it yet. But the ability for you to then to bring them in, and don't worry about knowing everything before. Let your team teach you and them at the same time. Let's say you did 6 of these calls.
Yeah.
6 introductory calls where the team introduced themselves and told them what you do. You're going to be an expert after listening to this 6 times. Okay.
Yeah.
What better way to know what everybody's doing and how they're doing it? And everybody's going to get better and better and better at this. Briefer, you know, Ben, right? Shorter is better. Picking the right words, powerful words. You're writing them down. You're scripting it. You're getting it better and better. And comprehensive multi-generational planning with full implementation of the planning process through 12 scheduled appointments for reviews of the plan, two of them in person, and rapid response to our problems, 1 hour response to 24-hour resolution. That's a simple sentence, but it takes you a long time to get it that squished.
Yeah.
So you can say it in one sentence. You want to tell them, you want to tell them how the watch is made. They don't care. They just want to know you're taking care of them, and that will get you a wow and will make them go, oh, wow, how do you do that? And then you start explaining. We do that because we have a limited number of clients. We're able to do that. We're very client-centered. We can't take on 20 new clients. We can take on 10 this year. And the reason we can do that is because we've expanded our team, and we're very proud of but we're going to maintain that incredible level of service, which isn't for everybody, right?
It's right.
People want to know you're exclusive. So by showing that, here's the other thing, Jamie. For every center of influence that you have that you're going to meet with monthly, you want to have one that you're meeting with quarterly and one you're meeting with semi-annually doing something similar.
Okay.
So that person gets hit by a truck. I just had a lovely woman, you know, end up on her bathroom floor dead, you know, 60 years old, young, vibrant, boom, they're gone, right? So you got to always be planning. Backup. Who's my next mortgage broker if this one doesn't work? Who's my next CPA if this one doesn't work? Who's my next estate planning attorney if this one doesn't work? So you got three of everything that you're going to have, but you're working monthly on this one. And that's a lot of introductions. And remember, you want to have your team meet them as well. So you bring them on to your Zoom call, and you could do this in one call where they meet your team and you meet their team. So you guys want to be efficient. I mean, I love the idea of going to their office and meeting their team. I love them coming to your office and meeting your team. But you know what? With Zoom, you can do both meetings at once and you're done in 50 minutes.
Yeah, you obviously haven't seen the office space at the Willis Tower.
I think you
didn't
want
to. That was a compliment. I'm just teasing. You're absolutely right, Rob. You're right. There's no need to delay waiting for the in-person meeting. I totally agree with that. But
yeah.
And they fit into different categories of where they are in their life and what type of individuals. And I won't bore you with that, but some respond better to certain environments and others are fine with what you just described. So, you know, we'll figure it out. I'm definitely the can-do guy rather than waiting for it to be perfect. It will be, you know, ready pretty quickly. So,
and this applies to everybody on the team too, because you all should be developing these same kind of niches and centers of influence that are unique to your experience and what you've brought to the table. The other thing that really comes out today is this universality of experience of opportunity in terms of geography, right? We aren't restricted to Chicago anymore. We can have 20 great clients in California, all right? And we're going to feel as close to them as they are to their next door neighbor because they're not seeing them either, right? So Zoom brings everybody like to become a next door neighbor. So when you think of it, Jamie, when you know, or any of you guys, Ben, you're thinking of, I'm getting an introduction to a psychologist in California that can introduce me to a network of comedians. And then I get involved with your agents and so forth and so on. You might as well be down in Century City down the hall, you know, down the block.
Right.
Because of Zoom. And that wasn't the case. Everybody felt like, oh, I want somebody nearby so I can go see them. People are like, I don't need to go see them anymore. You know,
Right. I'm glad you're speaking to this because it is a brave new world. You know, it is different. It is different. So,
and don't get sucked into this, you know, where the market's too high, you know, we can't do anything. We need to hold all this cash and all this stuff. Yes, the market is fully priced. Okay. So what? But the world is changing so fast, and there's so much creativity, and there's so many new companies, and there's so much going on that you gotta be engaged. You can't be sitting around waiting for a correction to be engaged. I mean, I just think about the whole world in 5 years will be again completely different. And if you're waiting in cash, you'll have missed a whole generation of creativity. So anyway, I digress, but I've got to talk myself into that because I'm one of these guys that have seen many, like Shelley, many, many, many corrections and many, recessions and recoveries. Now they all end up pretty good, but this productivity increase that we're seeing from COVID is going to be real and it's going to last a long time. And Zoom is a big part of it. So I digress, but I wanted to share that.
Okay. Let's go through the checklist real quick here.
Sure.
I was just going to say, when they say on TV, stocks to watch, do you want to watch them go up or do you want to watch them go down?
Depends on whether you're long or short, right?
We have another one-liner. What's the market going to do? It's going to fluctuate.
Yeah.
So it's brilliant, guys.
It's always volatile, kids. That's remember when they bring somebody on CNBC. Oh, what's the market going to do now? Oh, it's going to be volatile. Okay. Yes, thanks.
Okay. I know. But we remember when the market was at 560, right, Shelley? Back in 1974.
Oh, yes. Yes, I do. I do. And what I was involved in back then is the company I was working for was getting people into option writing. And the only thing that was available was calls. And I actually spent 6 months on the CBOE floor at that time. Then I ran around the country with a computer that weighed about, 20 pounds, showing them how to write options with the Black-Scholes model. But that's a long time ago in a galaxy far away.
No, it's so interesting. I was the editor of Options Digest, the first magazine we ever put out at Merrill Lynch on options. That was before, remember, they only had contracts.
That's right.
Private contracts. And then they started the CBOE with public contracts, and they did only have calls, and nobody understood anything about them. And not to digress, but do you remember when you could actually, they counted ordinary option premiums as ordinary income because they wanted to screw the public?
Yes.
They made a big mistake because you could take ordinary income losses unlimited,
right,
on options.
Wow.
That didn't last.
We did. Unintended consequences of trying to screw the public.
Correct. So we did spreads. We did spreads in those days and would generate enough income to take care of a person's entire income for the year. Just lift a leg at the end of the year. Hopefully you had enough volatility to do it. Anyway, I digress.
It was the Wild West.
Yeah.
It was right out of Trading Places, okay?
Right. It was great fun. I was in Boston then. Anyway, so go ahead, checklist.
I'll let the team shoot.
Hey, guys, good morning. I'll make this quick. We got a call here in a minute. In a nutshell, we're doing really well with scheduling. It's working out very smoothly. And the folders, I'm currently in process of putting them together still. I'm going to be working really, really diligently this week to do it, to continue. So I'll give you an update next week.
We'll have a pure test with Silverman this Friday with a physical. Great. Let's continue.
I'll go ahead and go here. So as far as our team's progress on planning and segmentation, pretty good. Percentage of households that are designated for Supernova currently, that sits at about 89%, I think, Ben. And I skimmed through the list that you had sorted on the business intelligence from a little while ago and found a couple of stragglers that I thought were supernova. I think like Harrop, for example, was not labeled either or. So I just filled those in and found about 11% that were asset management clients or family members that might not be getting the full supernova schedule. So that's where we sit in implementation. For the most part, everybody else is where they need to be. And then as far as when that will be completed, I don't know that any of them necessarily need any change to the service model, but would defer to your opinion.
Yeah. So here's what I'm thinking, guys. I'm thinking that like we're starting to get to on the Bravo list. How many Bravos do we have left?
18.
Okay. And I guess we did three today, right?
Yes.
So here's what I'm thinking. Kind of at this point down on the list, which is just the clients that are fine under $1 million, you know, 700,000, they pay $10,000 a year. Reassign these to you and John Brick.
Okay.
All right. You are two credentialed people on the team. You guys are our two credentialed people on the team. Okay. I mean, industry credentialed. You're perfectly suited as a CFP and a CFA to be able to handle Renee Green down.
Okay.
So I want us to, I'm going to have you guys, just as a reminder, I've had you all on the calls this quarter so you can listen to the clients. I'm not making them nervous by bringing a bunch of strangers on. I've introduced you before I bring you on. Or you guys have had an opportunity to talk to them, Dan and you in particular. And next quarter, you guys are going to be on the call. What I'd love to do is by the following quarter, like the second quarter, so six months after hire date, I start to transfer these clients to you guys.
Okay.
All right. Cool. So that's something new. Let's continue. What else do we got on the checklist? What's up next?
Implementation.
Okay. So Jamie, I'm trying to teach this to Jamie. So here's something that we've done that has been noted by, you know, Adam and others. I'm sending out a daily activity for the entire team, Alpha Bravo, separated by things that need to be done by a certain time of the day and things that are basically what we call our rocks our special projects and stuff that comes up. So that's implementation at its best, I think, because it's ensuring that we actually do things that we say we're going to do for clients. What else? What else on implementation?
Implementation was, have you added any different items and when does it go into effect for the 24-month calendar?
Well, we're in effect, so it's going. Yep. We're already using the full year outlook for next year. Tax and IRA planning and portfolio review are the three topics. We always do portfolio review, so we just have two topics for the first quarter. It's tax and IRA planning. We're putting those together in case there's an RMD or there's like a contribution that can be made for the prior year, just whatever it is. And tax, of course, the first quarter, and then full year outlook. So everybody's going to get that for the first quarter.
I would step in and add to that too, that we're just sending those out with the executive summaries, which is a great way to warm the clients up and get them kind of, you know, gears turning, if you will. Right. Next, Ben, for you is leadership. What's your progress on segmentation, profitability, growth, and retention of clients?
Okay. Retention's 99%. Growth, I don't know because I can't get an answer from Black Diamond. Let's get on that. We've been working on it for 2 months. So it's time to either do it ourselves. They're not doing anything for us, though. So we need to get our answer for ourselves. We need to feed ourselves here. Okay. I can't tell you growth because I have no numbers. We're obviously at an all time high. We're gonna get a $3 million deposit tomorrow. That'll put us at 291. We're trying to hit 300 before the end of the year. By the way, Rob, the nice thing is that that's all advisory business, no brokerage. Okay, so it's a real pure business. Let's see here. We did break, whatever. I don't want to mention it again. We may have our best fee quarter ever in less than 4 weeks. We will see. Our next stop is 800,000 a quarter if we can do it. We hit 752 last quarter, but we lost a client that took us down, you know, to 740. So we'll see. We got to hit 800 in revenue per quarter. That's our next goal. 800 per quarter, guys. Let's see here. And we're on track. I think, you know, as far as we want to hit 500 by the end of next year by hook or crook. No, I'm just kidding. We want to do that organically or through acquisition or a combination thereof. Okay. I even said 600 at one point because of doubling the business. If we bring in $200 million producers and we bring in $100 million with Jamie, frankly, I don't care what combination that is. I want us to double the business by the end of next year through organic growth with Jamie and our existing business and acquisition. Let's see here. Let's see. Leadership. We're having the monthly meeting successfully this week. I have one per week. So this week I've Dan hit me up on a time that's good for you after 5 o'clock, and we will have a 30-minute session. What's working? What's not? Roles, rocks, and values. Those are our three topics.
Personal development and professional development.
Okay, personal development should be added to the subjects.
And professional development. So, for example, I might want to be getting a new designation.
Okay.
My personal development, Ben, you got to care. Okay, that's called care. Okay. About the person, ask about the family, ask about personal goals. What are you trying to do personally? I'm trying to run a marathon. I'm trying to do this or that.
Yep.
It takes an extra minute to ask about those things. For people that are math heads and very driven,
yep.
They don't ask, they don't care. They just, okay. You got to ask and you got to care.
Right.
I'm not saying you're one of those. I'm just saying that for us that all we, you know, we're very focused. Me, I've got to remind myself to be a human periodically. Okay.
Right. That's what I love about these Zoom calls too. I'm doing all of our PM calls. I want to see faces. You know, I don't care about COVID. I mean, we'll get together on Zoom if we can't be in person.
Right. Right. Right.
So that's great. Thank you. Thank you for that addition.
Yeah. One other thing, and you guys know this, but the CARE Act, everybody remembers the required minimum distribution being suspended. But do you remember the fact that you can give an unlimited amount of money and use it against your you know, it used to be 60% of cash against adjusted gross income. And now it's 100% for 2020.
Wow. Didn't know that charitable topic.
It's for cash. Okay. Cash only.
Yeah. So not appreciated positions.
So it's a really big deal because some of your clients have made 5-year commitments to institutions and their adjusted gross income is big. They can pay it off this year and use 100% against their income.
Right.
So I'm adjusting my giving because I've got some of those 5-year commitments. And I told Marcia, write checks this year rather than giving stock. Now, nobody's talking about that. It's so weird. It was in Barron's, but, you know, I still don't hear people talking about it on my calls.
Yes, makes sense. We actually returned $500,000 to IRAs this year after distributing the funds as that whole progression took place. Let's wrap up our checklist, guys.
Yep.
So what else do we have on the checklist?
I believe those were all the topics.
Implementation, leadership, brand planning. The other stuff, of course, is chapter 8 in the coaching guide and the week 8 video.
Okay. We're on it. Okay, thank you, sir. Thank you, Rob. We appreciate all the extra time here this morning and good storytelling.
Let's talk about the leverage of charitable giving and creating maybe some excitement around that. Okay. I think it's very powerful right now and a chance to shine. Plus with COVID, it's so easy to create some structure around that. So another niche, you know, but maybe a niche that the whole team can get excited about. So think about that. What's wrong with the world? How could you guys fix it? What could your contribution be? And, you know, what would get the whole team excited?
We did add that to the fourth quarter topics for 2021. We are opening a donor advised fund today for someone who came out of the tax planning on Friday. We're on it. I'll try to incorporate what I can into the December reviews on that.
Good. Thanks, guys. Talk soon.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Rob. Yeah.
Bye, guys. Cheers. Bye-bye.